Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Pennsylvania went relatively early, a state that we had talked about possibly going for another day or two. Went well before some of these other battleground states. And that really was the handwriting on the wall then.
Yep.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
It's a political victory that our country has never seen before, nothing like this. I want to thank the American people for the extraordinary honor of being elected your 47th president and your 45th president.
The former president, now expected to be the president-elect, Donald Trump, claiming victory early this morning before all the states were called, but the electoral math is falling in his favor. Wisconsin putting him over the top of the 270 electoral votes needed to win the election. That decision coming in the early morning hours, what, about 4 o'clock this morning,
about
just after?
4:30 was called for the former president.
As the electoral math looks right now across the country, the former president at 277 electoral votes, several states still outstanding, a number of them still leaning in favor of the former president, who is known for hyperbole. But to say what he said about we've never seen anything like this before might actually be dead
right,
on.
Right, right. Dead on.
A lot of folks calling this the greatest political comeback of all time. And you could certainly make the argument for it. If you went to bed last night, things were looking good for the former president, but they were also looking good here in Wisconsin for Eric Hovde, the challenger in our U.S. Senate race against Tammy Baldwin. However, when the Milwaukee votes came in early this morning, just a couple of hours ago, that flipped the race in favor of Senator Baldwin, and it looks like right now, granted she's inside a 1% margin, but it looks like she will retain her seat in the U.S. Senate.
Still waiting on some votes from Oak Creek. Even if Hovde ran the table on all of those votes, it wouldn't be enough for him to have the advantage, but we'll have to wait and see how they look when they come in. In a statement posted online, Baldwin says the voters have spoken, our campaign has won. She says, Wisconsinites chose someone who always puts them first, shows up, listens, and works with everyone to get the job done. I'm proud to head back to the Senate to keep fighting for workers, farmers, and families that make our state great.
I should choose my words more carefully. It didn't flip the race. Everyone had voted.
Right, you're right.
The race was over, and this was a matter of counting. And sometimes when we talk about things that sow doubt in the outcome of an election,
sure,
it's these late night flips. Well, everything was fine, and then it flipped over and it went a different way. The votes had already been cast. It was a matter of when they were counted. So the race didn't flip. We just finally got to the end, added it all up, and it was, in that case, a state that goes for Trump and yet also for Baldwin,
which is not unprecedented here in this state. By the way, we should mention, so we have yet to hear from the vice president. We do expect her to speak at some point today. We don't know when. We don't know where. That has yet to be determined.
Have not seen anything from her campaign either in terms of a directive on that or a concession of any kind. We're going to stand in and fight. There are things that we're looking at. Nothing of that sort from the Harris campaign.
Nothing to suggest that they will have anything to fight as well. There aren't any major discrepancies that would bring the election into question.
And some of the states that were expected to be late calls, I mean, we expected Michigan to be late. That state has yet to be called. Wisconsin was about on time with what we were expecting,
yep,
particularly with the recount here in Milwaukee of those 31,000 absentee ballots. But Pennsylvania went relatively early, a state that we had talked about possibly going for another day or two. Went well before some of these other battleground states. And that really was the handwriting on the wall then.
You could argue
the handwriting was on the wall. That was the one that really ended a path to victory for Vice President.
Oh, for sure.
Harris.
She needed PA.
It is 6:14. We are going to do a little bit of sports. We've got some Packers news. That's coming up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Green Bay Packers did make a trade up against the deadline Tuesday. It was not adding. It was subtracting. Packers sending defensive lineman Preston Smith to the Steelers for a 7th-round pick in 2025. General Manager Brian Gutekunst said it wasn't like we weren't looking, but there just weren't a lot of pieces available for Green Bay to try to snatch up.
4, 5, 6 weeks, you know, before now. And so as we went through it, it was, you know, I kind of assumed it was going to be very quiet, and it very much was this year. I think those initial conversations, and they can change, but as we monitored going through it, I think it was kind of pretty steady that it was going to be a quiet, that, you know, acquiring any significant players was going to be, you know, there wasn't going to be a lot of opportunity to do that.
So Smith only 2.5 sacks on the season, but a veteran player. Goody said that, you know, other guys are going to have to step up to fill that leadership void. Also seemed to suggest that it was a phone call to him, not a call out. Like, they weren't looking necessarily to deal Preston Smith, but that call came in from the Steelers.
Okay.
So,
got to admit, it kind of caught us off guard a little bit. Like, oh, Preston Smith. All right.
Well, and he did. You know, Jason Wilde, ESPN's Jason Wilde, our guy, asked in the news conference, he's like, boy, you know, are we sellers? Like, aren't you, like, we're 6-3 and we're in really good shape here. And Goody said it's not a linear look, you know, like, this was an opportunity that came up. We think there are other guys that we want to get more snaps on the defensive line that can rise up. And then it's got to, you know, Goody loves his draft picks. Every GM does. He had lost that 7th round pick in the trade for Malik Willis. Now he gets it back in this trade.
Was that you who told me that Ron Wolf always said that too? Hey, you got to trade them when they're good, not when they're bad. And
it wasn't me, but that sounds like something that Ron Wolf would say. Right. You can't trade guys on the trash heap, or you don't get anything for them. And in terms of productivity, do you really take a big step back? I think the leadership component is certainly there for Preston Smith. We're a very, very young team, and we just got even younger. Packers, of course, on the bye week and play next a week from Sunday against the Bears. And really nothing else doing in sports tonight. Bucks host the Jazz tomorrow night at Fiserv Forum, and the Banters and UWM college basketball hoops will get underway once again tomorrow
as
well.
As of now, no word on when Chris Middleton will return. I don't know if he's the missing piece right now that the Bucks need, but no word to suggest that Middleton is quickly going to be back on the floor.
I don't know that he is, but it better be, because
need something.
What else you got?
Well,
and we lost 6 straight. 6:18 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Some folks just waking up to news that the former president will become the next president. Donald Trump had 277 electoral votes, and the projections from overnight, it was Wisconsin that put him over the top of 270. And also, significantly, Eric, leads the popular vote by some 5 million votes.
I think a lot of political pundits would tell you they're surprised by that. Not surprised that he would win the election, per se, but that he'd have the popular vote as well.
In Wisconsin, just updating you on the U.S. Senate race, it appears that Senator Tammy Baldwin will retain her seat. The votes from Milwaukee putting her over the top late, or I suppose early this morning. It's all running together, probably for you as well, for those of you who stayed up late watching all of these election results and listening to them come in. But it appears that there is no path to victory as the math works out right now for the challenger, Eric Hovde. Those are the big races in Wisconsin, and we'll continue to update that situation. We have had Senator Baldwin come out and declare victory, saying that it was a victory. She did so on social media, but have not heard from her since supporters went home early in the morning. So a lot of folks are going to, let's start with the analysis, right? What happened? How is it that former President Trump was able to win? How is it that Vice President Harris lost? I just stumbled on this sort of interesting piece of analysis on how some of the math is breaking down this morning. This is by Joey Garrison. He's White House correspondent for USA Today. So that would include, like, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is part of that Gannett family. And here, I'll read you just a few paragraphs of what he is writing this morning. When Kamala Harris appeared on ABC's The View last month, it was supposed to be a friendly forum to introduce herself to Americans unfamiliar with her story. The Democratic presidential nominee instead struggled to explain what she would do differently than President Joe Biden. Quote, not a thing that comes to mind, Harris, the incumbent vice president, told the hosts. Goes on to talk about a couple of different things, and then he quotes David Axelrod. David Axelrod, former longtime advisor to Barack Obama, called the exchange, which became a Trump ad, quote, disastrous for Harris, as he recapped the election outcome on CNN early Wednesday morning. There's no doubt about it. The question is what motivated it. So Axelrod, longtime advisor to former President Obama, saying that was a terrible moment for the vice president. And one of the reasons he says that is because you look at some of the exit polling that we've been talking with the folks at ABC News about, you know, economy was huge on the minds of Americans.
Yes.
The border was huge on the minds of Americans. And she, according to this analysis, just failed to separate herself from what many Americans believed were failed policies of the current administration. And then when you go on a national show and say, well, I don't see. Now, she later tried to clean that up and said, no, there are things I would do different. But in that moment, didn't answer that question correctly. Now, how many people are watching The View or swayed by it? But in that moment, no, the Trump campaign turned that into their ad.
Right, right. No, I mean, Trump campaign ran. I mean, whoever was running his campaign deserves all the money coming to them. I mean, they ran a flawless campaign from start to finish. In fact, I would say that, like, you know, we've heard a couple of different analysis now. Well, flawed candidate in Kamala Harris. I don't know. I think you got to give credit where credit's due. The guy won. He won it going away. He won every swing state. So to suggest that like one View ad was the difference, and I know that's not what you're suggesting.
Right. Right. Well, there's more. And where did Vice President Harris underperform? Again, based on exit polling. We'll have more data in the days to come, and we still have a few states that have yet to even be called. But I'll continue here. Another nugget in this piece in USA Today. Harris underperformed with voters of color, particularly Latino voters, but also black voters in urban centers such as Philadelphia, Detroit, and Milwaukee. Despite maintaining Democrats' growing strength in college-educated suburbs, it was not enough to overcome Trump's gains in Democratic strongholds. We talked about that just the other day.
Yep.
Where was the shift? You know, the wow counties aren't as wow as they used to be for
a little
Republicans,
softer,
right? Because suburban women, many of them turned off either by Trump or the abortion issue on the Republican side, gravitating towards the Democrats. Could the Republicans make gains in these two categories, in Latinos, in African Americans, and how would those two balance each other out? We're now seeing that play out this morning. Article continues, Harris carried black voters 86% to 12%, Latino voters 53 to 45, according to CNN exit polls. But in the 2020 election, Biden won black voters by a wider 92 to 8% margin over Trump, and Latinos 65 to 32. When you're making up more than 10% in those categories, granted, they're smaller than some of the other categories, but those are big chunks and big gains. And it was enough to cancel out the drift, perhaps, from suburban women as one category that might have drifted away from the former president.
But here in Wisconsin, again, always doing the odd and the unforeseen, although it's normally seen here.
So Wisconsin is this result, right?
The split with Tammy Baldwin also winning re-election.
Congressional delegation remains largely the same as
Correct.
We talked about, 6-2 in favor of Republicans. The last race that was being closely watched is the 3rd Congressional District, La Crosse area. Looks like freshman Congressman Derek Van Orden, the Republican, will win re-election. Faced a tough challenge from Rebecca Cook on the Democratic side, but looks like he is going to retain that seat and maybe a 2 percentage point margin. Many of the other races not particularly close. One other race that was being closely watched was the one up in northeast Wisconsin. Tony Weed, the Trump-appointed candidate in that office, new to politics, getting 57% of the vote in Wisconsin's 8th congressional district. First congressional here, southern part of the state. Brian Stile wins re-election against Peter Barca, a well-known name in Wisconsin, but trying to make a comeback in politics, and it was not to be for Barca.
We do anticipate we'll hear from the vice president at some point today. Very curious to hear what the message is in that speech. No time has been given on that, but we would expect to hear from Harris at some point.
There's some Packers news to report. The green and gold active up against the trade deadline. We'll do it in sports at 6:45.
There is some unfinished business at the Milwaukee City Hall that the Common Council could bring up today.
Yes, life goes on in municipal politics today.
And they're back at it today. And what could it be? Oh, it could be.
Or it could not be.
The Milwaukee flag is part of the unfinished business on the agenda for today's Common Council meeting in Milwaukee. So will they vote on the flag today? We'll find out. Could it be kicked again? Also today, we should point out in a serious matter, too, that Jonathan Brostoff, of course, the council member who took his own life at Greenfield Park earlier this week, you would imagine that the council will address that matter as well in some fashion. I don't know what that would look like. There's nothing on the agenda per se, but you would think that the council will address his loss of life.
I would expect them to do that at the start of the meeting in some form, you know, front end of these meetings, whether you're talking about your city council or your village town board, what have you, county supervisors. There's that space at the beginning before you actually get down to business.
Right.
Various school kids are introduced or the whereases and heretofores are read and things like that. You would expect this to be part of that on the front end, I would guess, of the session. And typically the Common Council meets on Tuesdays, but yesterday being the election.
Yeah, they pushed it back.
Pushed it to today. So I think you're right. You have to do something on the front end to acknowledge that vacant desk in the Common Council chambers on the third floor of City Hall in Milwaukee. 6:38 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
We're going to have a great 4 years, and we're going to turn our country around, make it something very special.
45 will also be 47. Former President Donald Trump projected to win the election. Still several states outstanding, most of them leaning red anyway, and there's no path to victory in terms of electoral math for Vice President Harris this morning. What's going on in Michigan?
We knew that one would take a little bit of time.
I thought Michigan changed some of its rules, unlike we did here in Wisconsin, allowed them to start processing absentee ballots earlier ahead of the election, not necessarily tabulating them, but getting the process started. And yet Michigan still has not called its state, or Associated Press has not called Michigan based on its reporting. We're looking at 97% reporting there, but former President Trump up about a point on Vice President Harris in that state.
It was Wisconsin. Wisconsin's the one that tipped it in for the former president. It was
everybody calling the race, 4:30?
Around 4:30-ish. That put him over 270.
You have some reaction from not just here in the United States, but from around the world on how this is playing out, as you know, much of the rest of the world is already in their daytime, right? We're waking up to news, but they were seeing this play out.
Right, and keeping an eye on what this would mean for them, of course, as well, including Ukraine. Ukraine, obviously, is watching this very closely.
One major concern for Europe is whether Trump will make good on his promise to end support for Ukraine in its war with Russia. Ukraine's President Zelensky called Trump's election victory impressive and mentioned his meeting with Trump in September, underlining the importance of U.S. support and what Zelensky praised as Trump's peace-through-strength approach in global affairs. Tom Sufi-Burridge, ABC News, in Paris.
Number of things on the world stage could change with a Trump presidency. Obviously, we're watching the war in Ukraine. You also have our relationship with China. What is China willing to do with Taiwan, with former President Trump now becoming president once again? What about the situation in the Middle East? You know, is Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel? Listening to some analysis today from Jerusalem, one of the reporters there suggesting that Benjamin Netanyahu might be happy with this particular result, not necessarily seeing that he would get more U.S. support, but sort of being more free to continue multiple wars as he sees fit.
And as far as Russia goes, the Kremlin says Russian President Vladimir Putin has no plans to congratulate Donald Trump.
6:45, we do have some sports news involving the Green Bay Packers and a trade. That's next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Green Bay Packers on a bye week, but they did make a move ahead of the trade deadline. It was subtraction, not addition. Sending defensive lineman Preston Smith to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Packers will get a 7th-round draft pick next year in exchange, but they lose more than a starter on defense, but a leader in the locker room. General Manager Brian Gutekunst.
Having Preston in the locker room, he's always been a really good leader for us. And whenever you lose that, that just usually creates room for other guys to step into that void. So I think we have a lot of guys that are capable of doing that. And so, again, I think, you know, we want to grow together. And I think the group that we got in our front is doing that right now. And I'm excited to see what they do in the second half.
And Goody also saying he wants to see some of these younger guys step up with more playing time on defense as well as in those leadership roles. Said it wasn't like the Packers were looking, but there just really wasn't anyone out there on the trade block that the team thought they could pick up and help them, which is how we became sellers, not buyers, so to speak. But he was asked, like, we're 6-3. You're at a different point last year up against the trade deadline, you know, where you maybe probably were surprised that the Packers made the playoffs and did as well as they did. Different spot entirely, where Packers fully expect to contend, not just for the playoffs, but to go deep. So how are we sellers? And he just said there weren't guys out there, and also seemed to indicate that this was a call that came from the Steelers, not them trying to move Preston Smith, and it was an opportunity. Goody loves his draft pick, so he got his number 7 pick back.
And Smith's snaps were going down too, so.
2.5 sacks only on the season. Packers next play a week from Sunday against the Bears. Really quiet sports schedule for Wisconsin teams today. College hoops back tomorrow. Badgers and UWM will get back to the hardwood. And then there's the Bucks.
Yes, the Bucks return. They play the Jazz tomorrow night right here on WDTMJ. No word yet on when or if Chris Middleton will be back anytime soon.
Or whether that is, in fact, the piece that's been missing.
I hope so.
6:48. Siding Unlimited, WTMJ News Time, 6:53 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Bringing in our friend and teammate from across the hall, host of the afternoon show on 101.7 The Truth and former Milwaukee Police Lieutenant, Dr. Ken Harris. Late night for you, Dr. Ken. You want to make an opening statement?
The only opening statement, well, first of all, good morning. How's everybody?
Yes.
Well,
good morning.
Wide awake.
Well, I'm not. The only statement I want to make about last night is the S&P 500 futures are up 2.31%, Dow futures 3%, NASDAQ 1.7%, Ethereum 9.74%, and the Russell 2000 over 6%. However, oil is down. So that kind of tells you what the market and the economy, the importance to people here in America, that, well, at least half of them, and if it gets the popular vote, it's going to be something pretty interesting for the Democratic Party to have to decipher, because they're going to have to retool everything. They got rid of an old white guy, and we elected an old white guy. And I say that, you know, tongue in cheek, but it was a significant win. And the next 4 years are going to be very interesting.
Do you think it would have mattered who the candidate was, or how much of this is just because it's the former President Donald Trump?
I think it was because it was President Donald Trump. Kristen Bray said it last night that you can't, and I'm paraphrasing, but you can't, when you look at his makeup, all the things that he did, the way he talked, even with the personal issues and the criminal indictment and the conviction, the fact that he was able to do what he did. Jessica talked about it, how we've gone from January 6th to 2 assassination attempts to the change and who's running for, like, all those things happened, if you think about it, within the last 90 days.
Talking with Dr. Ken Harris from 101.7 The Truth. Interesting, you mentioned a retooling that the Democrats would need to do. They had this conversation, Dr. Ken, in 2016, and there was a period there of maybe it was weeks, maybe it was months, of what do we need to do to reach back out, to reappeal to the American voters? What did, you know, looking inside their own house and saying, where did we go wrong? But then it seemed like that conversation quickly evaporated. Granted, you can say they turned things around and won in 20, but is this the same conversation now, 8 years later?
The Democrats chose, well, let me just say it. Democrats did what they always do. They want to tell you what's important, how you should spend your money, and where you should go. The people told them in the polls, it's the economy, stupid. They didn't listen. They made it abortion. They made it shoring up the border, when in fact, everybody told them it's the economy. Gas and groceries. When those affect me, it affects the way I vote. Even, I think the African-American males were at 24%. That's unheard of. The Hispanic males, it's unheard of for the Republican Party to get those numbers, but they did. And that's because the Democratic Party does not listen.
You know, CNN in their exit polling showing the Trump campaign making significant, still losing certainly a majority of those votes in Latino and African-American community, but making gains there. Certainly that math works out to be enough to make up for losses perhaps from suburban women.
Well, when America is technically a majority minority, if I get enough of the lower percentage numbers and whites, I can win anything. He just proved it. he showed everybody, even in states that he was supposed to lose, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, but yet he won. So the writing's on the wall.
And Wisconsin does what Wisconsin does. Trump wins, but so does Senator Tammy Baldwin.
That is correct. Because people think that remaining, especially locally, keeping the same person is usually more important than changing. So, and Wisconsin just doesn't like to change.
Dr. Ken Harris, host of the Afternoon Show on 101.7 The Truth. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you.